Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, it's your boy, Arizona Verse, and with me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papa.
Hey.
Now,
all I gotta say,
this is the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, but first things first, Papa. Christmas just passed, yo.
It did, man.
How was your Christmas?
I can't complain at all. And I don't know if this is where you start getting braggadocious and start, you know what I'm saying, fucking popping tags and talking about everything. But the world really left me, and I feel so ashamed for being such a Jew bastard to everyone else.
Yeah, I'm fairly Jewish in my holidays too, so I know where you're coming from.
I'm going to probably raise up my kids to be like Jehovah's Witness for a while, just so I can stack up and save, and they won't celebrate no birthdays, no Christmases, or nothing. And then once they're about 7 or 5 and they start, you know, asking for shit, like, all right, fuckers, we get a once a year treat. Twice, maybe.
I guess I can buy some shit.
I guess you can get some new socks, some ugly sweaters. I got really excited though, because old girl had actually, she got me a vinyl player, and I had two, but both of them, you know what I'm saying, went under commission. So yeah, I can finally hear my records again. And then of course, you can't just hear a standalone record player, because she didn't get me a little traveling one. So I had to get myself a little Mackie mixer. But either which way, I just got real excited, and now I'm, you know what I'm saying, living off of Paul McCartney and fucking Chicago.
Yeah, boy. I know, and I still got my eye on, have you seen those 6-in-1 vinyl joints? It has the vinyl player, has the auxiliary, the cassette player, the CD player. Yo, I need that in my life, yo.
Well, do you remember back in the day, man, that's how entertainment centers were. It had the vinyl player at the top, it had the two tape decks so you can record and sample off one another. It had the, yeah, man. I remember shits were so legit, and I remember just fucking up the CD player. I don't know what the hell I was trying to stick in there, but I remember my old man's like, and he left it there too, just so I can see what happens when, why we can't have nice shit. You know what I'm saying? Because we're fucking it up.
And nice shit because of your little ass. And speaking of someone else who was in the holiday spirit, but maybe in the wrong way, possibly, was the big homie Neil deGrasse Tyson, yo. He has some...
What up, Neil?
He has some Christmas tweets that stir up a little controversy. And shouts out to Neil deGrasse Tyson, because he's just brilliant. And that's why, like, I can never get mad at him with anything that he does, because he's speaking from a very intelligent place. And I love his saying that he says to a lot of the climate change disbelievers or whatever, is the good thing about science is that it's true whether you believe it or not. But Neil deGrasse, he had some facts and some observations about the holiday, and for many, these tweets proved to be entertaining and amusing, but some got mad at the messages accusing Tyson of being disrespectful towards religious observance. Now, I'm trying to see, does it say where what he actually tweeted?
Yeah, it should be near the bottom. Well, I think they just put it in bold. They didn't really screen cap it the way most motherfuckers do. Here we are mad because all the journalists can't get their shit right, so we can piggyback off them properly and smoothly like butter. Why is it?
But I know Christmas is always the time of year where it's like, what do you say? Because like me, I like to point out the fact that we're in this is the Saturnalia time of the year, which was a pagan holiday back in Rome, when for a week leading up to December 25th, which is the winter solstice, they would basically give gifts to one another, and it was kind of like anything went. And there was a lot of people running around butt naked during this week, and gay sex was okay. No one frowned on gay sex. It was just a whole bunch of wild shit that culminated into the winter solstice, which is December 25th, which is the time of year when the sun rises at its lowest place in the horizon or whatever. And so the Romans, who wanted to continue celebrating Saturnalia, decided once they adopted Christianity, they were going to turn it into Christ's birthday and keep it pushing. So yeah, it's always like Christmas time of year. It's like, what do you talk about? Do we talk about if Santa's real, if he's not real? Like, what do we talk about? Because Santa is white, in case you didn't know that. Fox News told me last year.
Naturally.
But
all right, now the kids, and you gotta answer me this, man. And I'm curious because I'm curious as to whether to give them that fake belief or not. Mm. I mean, if you're gonna be telling the fucking kids that there's a fucking white man that knows if you've been naughty, if you've been nice, might as well tell him it's Jesus. But Jesus. I don't know whether the Santa Claus thing. Do your two kids believe in Santa? Do they know of Santa? Do they know why this motherfucker in red is on TV drinking Coke all the time? Supposedly asking for milk and cookies?
Milk and cookies. Yo, I am going on with the Christmas tradition of lying to my kids about this white man bringing them gifts every year. And the reason why is I battled with this, like, growing up, if I was going to do that or not. And I came to the conclusion to go that route because I think it's uber important to let kids be kids. Let them have an imagination. Like, the thing that you learn when you grow up, when you turn 18 and you get out there in the real world, is that life doesn't give a fuck about you. Like life doesn't give a fuck what you're going through. It doesn't care. Life is going to keep kicking you in the balls until you pass away. And so I think it's important to give kids something magical to believe in, give them something to hold on to before you just start hitting them with all the bullshit of the reality of the world. So I'm letting the kids believe in Santa. I think it's important to their growth as a person. Like, you don't just want the kids growing up being fucking cynical smart asses from day one. Like, that's a horrible human. Yeah, like, let them be innocent for a while before they hit the real world bullshit. So that's my take on it.
One of my close peeps, she does, and I guess I'm guessing it's a white thing. I'm not too sure, but apparently they have like a magic elf or some sort of thing that they kind of keep around the crib, and it jumps around the house magically.
We did the same thing. We took it to that level, and it's the elf on the shelf.
The elf on the shelf. There you go.
Yo. And my somebody's knocking on the door.
Okay, well then let me talk, motherfucker.
You do it.
Why you do that? All right, this is another thing too, where they, and this is just motherfuckers just going all out, I suppose. But there's a part where they even let the lights in front of the house, which, mind you, these are lights, you know, the lights in front of the house, they would move magically too. And that takes a whole lot of fucking, that's a whole lot of preparation and maintenance. You have to make sure even the front lawn gnomes, or whatchamacallit, fucking reindeer that are in the crib, like, they're moving those shits too. Like, you really fucking with the kids. I don't know. We can just call it a social experiment and get away with it. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. But going back.
But it gives kids belief.
Yeah. You got to give them something to believe in before you run into Neil deGrasse tweets on Christmas, where he says, on this day long ago, a child was born who by the age of 30 would transform the world. Happy birthday, Isaac Newton. Because Isaac Newton was born December 25th of 1642. He went on to say, Santa knows physics. Of all colors, red light penetrates fog best. That's why Benny the blue-nosed reindeer never got the gig. And really, that's it. But it's the same thing. He got into a whole bunch of shit after.
He just went hard on his science is what he fucking did.
Yeah, and he got into a whole bunch of shit with people after the Gravity movie, because he watched the movie Gravity, and then he went on a Twitter rant about all the inaccuracies in it, and a lot of people got mad. And I'm like, why are you going to get mad? Like, he's intelligent. I'm sorry if he's too fucking intelligent to suspend his level of disbelief that much to believe what he saw in that movie. This is an educated man. This is the man who proved to us that Pluto is not a planet. And you want him to put up with some sci-fi bullshit on the big screen? Like, you got the game fucked up, yo.
Uncomfortableness.
Now, something else I don't know about is I think I figured out what's wrong with the world's economy. I think I figured out, like, because, you know, there's this whole, the 1% is gaining and the rest of us, like, the middle class is shrinking. Like, we're really falling apart, and we are, like, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, where did the money go? Like, where is all this money going? And I think I figured it out, because since 2008, apparently $44 billion worth of unused gift cards have just been kind of floating around there. So there's $44 billion of money on the table in unused gift cards, yo. Where the fuck is these gift cards? This is where all the money is. This is why our economy's messed up, because every year assholes can't go the extra yard to figure out what somebody really wants, so they get them a gift card to, oh, here, just go take this gift card. People don't use those gift cards, and then the money is lost, and it's $44 billion. I want to know where it's at, yo. We need to get this money back in the economy. We need to get this shit cracking again, yo. And did I lose Popo? Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the beauty of live podcasting. This is how it goes in the hood.
I can't hear you now.
Oh, and Popo's back, yo. So, I think on that note, allow me to reintroduce ourselves. It's your boy.
I'm black.
It's Arizona Verse.
No,
it's
you ain't.
Arizona Verse. Arizona Verse.
Huh?
No, and with me, my dude and co-host, Soul Popo.
Chopping, screwing this motherfucker. Damn.
Ow!
Hello, motherfuckers. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Now, this is the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, but you should already know that. It is a podcast about nothing in particular, just current events minus the bullshit. And go ahead and check us out at ibhmpodcast.com, and you could watch all of our live videos. You could check our lovely dedications, follow our blog, keep up with all of the news, all of the shit, all that is all of us. Find that at ibhmpodcast.com. Now, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on my main source of social media fuckery, which is Tumblr. And that can be found at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. And you can follow my motherfucking dude, Soul Popo, on his main source of social media fuckery, which is
Nintendo's Miiverse. Found me at Soul Popo. I'm kidding. No, I don't ever. Whenever I'm on anything, it's on Tumblr. Fuck me on Tumblr. You know what I'm saying?
Sir.
At Soul Popo. S-O-U-L-P-A-P-O. You know what I'm saying? Share shit, post shit, do some submissions.
Yes, sir. And shouts,
all that.
And shouts out to, let me hop over here, over to the IBHM Podcast Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/IBHM Podcast. Make sure you like the page. Check us out. Let us know what you think. Chime in. Show some love. Share some shit. All that shit over there. And shouts out to the big homie Ryan, who sent us some holiday wishes, and much love to him over there. And then also shouts out to motherfucking, we had got a new like. Where is it at? Yo. Shouts out to the Invisible Roots Afro-Mexicans in Southern California who liked the IBHM Podcast Facebook fan page. Yo. And shouts out to El Gamerico. Gamerico. Also, yo, we getting some love out there. We expanding, yo. And shouts out, because we growing, yo. We representing
one like at a time.
We're representing colored folks and illegal immigrants very well on the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast.
Well, we is.
That's what we do, yo. And speaking of that, something else the motherfucking IBHM podcast did was we kept it real thorough, real gangster, and went out on a mandate earlier this week and kept it gangsta and saw a motherfucking movie together, yo.
Yo, I didn't want the night to end. We all have responsibilities. No, seriously, what's up? Then I was like, man, kind of late. We go home? Do we just drink the night away and wake up somewhere? What the fuck?
What happens now? Fucking went to the motherfucking movies. And speaking of unused gift cards and different things like that, I had a motherfucking unused ticket to the theaters.
That was like a fucking year old already, man.
Yo,
damn near.
I got that ticket when I saw Hunger Games 2 come out in the theaters the first week. I got that ticket then. So however long ago that was, that's how long this ticket has been in my pocket. And it's sad to say that because I'm a big movie buff. And back in my previous life, being a single male without children, when I had no responsibilities, I can get to turn the fuck up and I could run my bank account to the negative and not have to think about it because whatever, you know, I'll figure the shit out.
Next week will come.
Another check will come. I'll figure it out again, you know. Back then, I used to go to the movies every paycheck. Every paycheck, I would drop like $50 at the theater. I would go do the movie. I wouldn't go matinee. I'd go when the shit is extra expensive at night, you know, when it's extra packed, extra loud and niggerish.
Nigga, the time to go is in the morning, brother. $5.
Yo, I would go to the expensive time of day. I'd get the movie, get the popcorn with the motherfucking, get the flavored salt. Flavoring that you get to throw in all that shit.
Kettle, that fucking cheese.
Yo, it was a bi-weekly tradition for me. And since I've had kids, I think I've been to the movie theaters maybe 5-6 times in the past like 4 years, which is very sad.
Let me interject real fast. There's this meme that I saw. I think it was a picture of Duck Hunt. A screenshot of Duck Hunt, and it said, "If you know what this is, you're probably grown with the responsibilities right now." And I thought that was the most hilarious shit.
Indeed.
If you know what this is, you probably have some responsibilities about
it. In motherfucking deed, yo. But
we did it right, though. I think we saw a really good fucking movie, which kind of represents, I mean, it's so funny that it was just a one little line that became the title, but it's truly what we are at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Top five.
Motherfucking
talking
top
about our top
five.
Fives.
So shouts out to motherfucking Chris Rock, who wrote and directed this film. And I gotta say, like, it got a major theatrical release, but this so felt like an indie movie. This felt like an independent movie. Like, I was surprised. Like, after seeing it, I was surprised to see that, like, you could tell Hollywood didn't have their hands in this. You could really tell that this was Chris Rock's vision. It didn't get altered too much. They just were able to rock with it. And it was a dope film, yo. It was funny. It was brilliant. It was emotional at times. It was dope on all levels. Like, and it just told a complete story of Chris Rock's character Andre Allen, who is confronting his past and comedic career after doing an interview with Chelsea Brown, motherfucking played by Rosario Dawson. And this is a phenomenal movie, yo. And it was a gang of motherfucking guest appearances on here. I don't even want to give all of them away, but just shouts out to like JB Smoove and Kevin Hart, Gabrielle
Union.
He played
a big part.
Yeah.
JB Smoove played a big part, man. Even though he was just a side character, he was a shit.
Motherfucking Tracy Morgan was phenomenal in it. Shouts out to Cedric the Entertainer. just it was a lot.
Shit around like, here.
And, oh man, I need some of them hangers, yo. Fucking
y'all gonna know if y'all see the movie about them hangers.
Them hangers, yo, them hangers. But yeah, it was a phenomenal movie, and actually in being top five end of the year, you know, doing a year end recap, I thought it was it's only fitting that we also review the movie top five. And yeah, I not to even give anything away, I just wanna say, yo, I gave it 5 stars, honestly. And I think people should go out and check it out, and when the shit come out on DVD, I'm gonna cop that shit on DVD to put even more money in Chris Rock's pocket to say, hey, thank you again, brother. Thank you again.
Just to go, it didn't go unnoticed, you know. It took us a whole lot, you know what I'm saying? It took us a mighty long time to go and see this shit, but it was well worth it. No, definitely. I want to say, amongst all the movies that I can say that I saw, I think it had my attention more than, I mean, Ninja Turtles had my eye, you know what I'm saying? I want to say Guardians of the Galaxy, that shit was the best Marvel movie.
Still ain't seen neither one of those.
Yo, well, you know what? Check us out. With that sounding too gay, I'm going to get me the DVD real soon. You going to come over. We going to watch it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be bundled up, cuddled up with 2 blunts and a patient. You know what I'm saying? Each to their own. So we don't have to, even though we're rubbing elbows and we ain't got a chest spit unless you want to. But what was I going to say? To top grossing movies, though, man, I think that shit made like 3-something billion. And it was pretty big. Guardians of the Galaxy is what I'm aiming at.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not too sure if I can go into, if you want to talk about top grossing people.
Let's do it.
Which let me see if I can get the link for it so you can kind of see some of it. Because obviously.
Oh, I think I got it.
Do you? Did I put it in there?
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. as far as top grossing actors, which, mind you, it's hard to judge someone, to say someone's top grossing all because of, you know, because especially if it's part of a movie franchise, like naturally Hunger Games is gonna get a lot of attention. But also the bitch was in X-Men, so what's my favorite?
And I'm mad.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh. J-Law. Because J-Law.
What you mad about?
What, huh?
What you mad about? You said you was mad. No. Don't look at her booty.
I'm sorry. The picture of J-Law popped up on my screen, and I got distracted. But no, I was going to say I'm disappointed that I still have not seen X-Men, because I'm an X-Men geek, yo. Greatest fucking comic book series ever. I'm so disappointed I ain't seen that shit yet, but yeah.
I bootlegged that hoe. It wasn't all that great, but I'm pretty sure with some real CGI and some shit, I'd imagine it could look pretty dope. What was I gonna say? Also, I'm not too sure. Did you find the interview?
Yo, it's on YouTube for like $6, and I want to download it, but I'm still scared that I'm gonna get bombed by North Korea. Even though their missiles can't go this far, I'm still worried that they might attempt to.
Yeah, they can.
I'm just saying, the reports I heard is the missile power of North Korea isn't strong enough. Their technology isn't strong enough to hit us from that far. And also, the other thing is the reason why it's impossible that North Korea is the ones that hacked Sony is because North Korea just got internet like within the past like decade. Like, they just got the internet there within the past decade, and now these niggas are so fucking bright, they're hacking into Sony. Come on, son. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I peeped it. You know what I'm saying? I kind of went the traditional route of illegally downloading it. And I will say, man,
that is tradition nowadays, ain't it?
Even though it had some good gags, man, it definitely isn't worth the hype. So if anything, this is going to probably help it. It's going to help it in DVD sales. And it's going to help it in streaming.
That's why I have to call conspiracy, because now that the movie's out and the reviews are coming back, a lot of people are saying how horrible it is. And so now I'm starting to believe that this was all them doing this shit virally to make a whole bunch of people go out there and see it, because people were seeing it just in to go against the terrorists. I'm going to go see this movie. And a lot of people are seeing it and they're saying it's not that great, but I still showed those terrorists something. I think they just Jedi mind tricked us, realized they put the final version together, was like, oh, this is a horrible movie and people are already upset about this Kim Jong-un shit. Let's hype this shit up and turn this shit into the, because people believe, all you got to do is say terrorists and people believe it.
There's two good things I want to say about
next,
this movie.
Next time you flunk a test at school, say it was a terrorist. And they'd be like, you know what? Goddamn terrorists are making the grades drop in the schools. Just blame it on terrorists. You'll be okay.
Motherfuckers. One thing I will say, two dope things I liked about the movie. One was the music selection. Whoever, and I forget who the music supervisor was. Good snippets of music. There's even
I forgot what we're talking about.
Talking about the interview.
Oh, the interview.
Okay, yeah, some bullshit. But like I said, two good things I liked. One was the music. It actually had really dope intro shits and the cut scenes, and not the cut scenes, the like the graphics that they put on there for the credits was pretty good. It was interesting. It had like a very Che kind of style. I don't know what the fuck to call it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the movie was fucking Hogwash, right? I feel like it was the best way to experiment with other ways to gain revenue. Because mind you, not everyone's gonna go to the movies. That's why a lot of movies they get their money back on the DVD sales, even though a lot of money has to go into the actual distribution of the shits. But think about it, we have so many ways to stream it: iTunes, YouTube, fucking Amazon, fucking Google, fucking.
Yeah. And that introduced me
on demand.
Like the movie was also released on YouTube, and that brought like something else to me. Like, yo, that's dope. Like, okay, you can release a movie on YouTube, and like I got YouTube on like my Roku on the big screen here, so it's like I could buy a movie off of YouTube and watch it from there. And it's just like, it's endless ways to put out movies. So I do think that we got motherfucking tricked. I think we got bamboozled, and I think that they use this as a way to market this this movie. Also, another thing, not to to switch gears too much, but someone else that tricked us, Hobson didn't go anywhere. A new video came out. Hop Sim trolled the shit out of us, said, I ain't going no motherfucking where. And he has a new album coming out.
Oh, naturally.
So,
I almost don't want to listen to it out of protest for fucking for the all the feels that he gave me.
Yo, he hops in, gave all of us mad motherfucking feels, and I'm gonna try to see if I can find this video. Keep going with what you were saying about Hobson.
Oh, well, really, I was going to go take it back to the movie things, because there's something I enjoy more than being able to watch a movie from the comfort of my home, smoking what I be smoking, looking with the, chilling with the incense of booty calling Michelle Obama, looking just smelling good. So, Hobson, I don't fucking know, man. So he has an album coming out, naturally. That's how you hype shit up. It kind of takes me back to when fucking 50 and Kanye West were releasing albums together. Was it back 03, 05? Talking about I'm going to quit the fucking music game. Nigga, no, you ain't. But you are going to be irrelevant, though.
Here we go. I got the video in the back. So he says that he's Marcus Hobson. He's leaving the music industry. He's telling the truth. So here go... Benson or whatever. Hops is all fucked up in the wheelchair, yo. You gotta snap out of this, man. You quitting the fucking game for what? You moving to Australia, nigga? You ain't got no fucking visa. How you gonna do that, man? Come on. And he's telling him spit it out. And he hops up. Got you.
Oh, is that supposed, to be a Dumb and Dumber number two fucking spoof, I guess.
And he's like, you've been faking for 2 weeks? And it was all for a gag? The Facebook post, the Instagram post, the fucking blogs. A nigga almost killed himself, nigga. That's fucking brilliant, yo. So you're not really quitting rap? Hell no, fuck that shit. You're ready for that pound syndrome. Yo, so Hobson 2015 ain't back. He's just shitting on you rappers, cause that's what he do. Yo, shouts out to that nigga. So yeah, he took the interview route too. And yeah, we all got hoodwinked and bamboozled, yo.
I don't like it. I don't like being tricked.
You know who else tricked us? That goddamn Coochie Tran. That
fucking
goddamn Coochie
Tran. I never trusted a chink.
You can't
trust Coochie. You can't trust Coochie.
You can't trust a Coochie Tran. Apparently, Chris Brown and Coochie Tran were pictured at a holiday party after her reconciling their relationship, I guess. It shows pictures of, Chris Brown. Chris Brown is, that's a weird ass name to me, but I don't know. But Sean Kingston, looks like Soulja Boy, Neo, all hanging out with him. They're having this party. I'm going to share this for the live audience. So they're hanging out, taking pictures and shit. Here go Coochie Tran somewhere in this picture. Chris Brown is mad niggerish, yo. And I'm trying to see what's the picture. Of course, he has to have some type of pyramid. What does this say? Something pyramid. I don't know. Niggas always got to go with the Illuminati shit and keep the rumors going. But yeah, so Chris Brown partying with all them, and here him and Coochie Tran are fleeing the scene. And this chick is mad. Like, I'm mad baffled by this whole thing, because I have one question to ask, and that is, what is Coochie Tran's talent? Like, what does she do? She must suck really well, because she don't sing, she don't dance, she ain't got a blog.
Is she
the
daughter of somebody famous, probably?
I don't know. Let me look her up. Because I genuinely don't know how she got famous. Oh, she has a Wikipedia page, yo? Let me bring this shit up. Oh, no, she don't. I just got...
I was going to say, another thing, too. Don't nobody want to be lonely in the holidays.
Oh, my God.
I mean, come on now. Don't nobody want to be lonely in the holidays.
Oh.
That's why a bitch going to take back her fucking the nigga that beats her up, because she can't be by herself and the kids. You want him to be home.
And I'm finally getting a good look at her. She's not cute. I don't think she's cute. Yeah, but it's funny. Her title just says the girlfriend and future wife of pop and hip hop music star Chris Brown, born in 1988. She's
future
from Los
wife.
She's from Los Angeles, California, where she met Chris years ago. Like, her whole story is revolved. Oh, she's good friends with Vanessa Simmons. That's where it comes from. Okay. She's friends with the Simmons daughters. Okay. That makes sense now.
And I'll say naturally, too. I mean, because what was that song that he did? The broke nigga bitch or whatever? Like, take a broke bitch and make a broke bitch rich or some bullshit?
Some shit.
Like, it makes all the sense. It makes all the sense.
And the other thing I'm hearing, the reason why Coochie Tran wants to get back with Chris Brown is I don't think she liked that video Amber Rose, the newly single Amber Rose, is still bad as she ever was, twerking on Chris Brown on stage. I know you saw the video.
Mm-hmm.
I know you saw it, yo. And I know Coochie Tran saw that too and was like, nah, I want my man back.
Yo, one thing I started laughing too, because once again, you see these shits after the holidays. Everyone who sucked on who, you know, on the holidays. And I think they said something about Justin Bieber with one of the Baldwin daughters. I'm not too sure if it's Lee Baldwin or whatever, but apparently they were first seen, the Biebs and this bitch were seen, I think, going to church with Kylie Jenner, which I'm like, that kind of excited me a little bit. So I'm like, oh, they're going to church together. Like, that's pretty cool. But that's wholesome.
That's so wholesome.
But yeah, I don't fucking know why the fuck we give a fuck about celebrities like this. I don't fucking know. But it got our attention.
It has our attention, and apparently also we tend to bend over backwards for celebrities. And shouts out to Radar Online, who put together the 30 most outrageous tour rider demands. And I saw this shit and was kind of tripped out. Just kind of scrolling through the list here, a few of the people on here. They have Kesha in a very fucked up picture, by the way. I think this is cold. Share the screen.
I should think this is cold. I want y'all to see this.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, she looks like a hot damn mess. And yo, this website is mad fucked up, yo. It's all these ads and shit. They're trying to get me to click on other shit. But apparently, Kesha, who put herself into rehab for an eating disorder in 2014, her tour rider the year before showed that she requests very little food, but she does request 4 bottles of alcohol. Apparently, whenever she goes on tour and they ask her, you know, what do you want in your tour bus and all that, she would request vegetarian hand rolls without rice and no mayonnaise, 1 raw vegetable tray, 1 tray of steamed vegetables or dried veggie snacks from Whole Foods if possible, along with 1 bottle of Don Julio or Patron tequila, 2 bottles of Cambrier, and 1 bottle of vodka, preferably Grey Goose.
Mm.
So that bitch really was getting twerk. What's up?
That's it. She got her priorities in order, though. She knows what she wants.
Look at the shot of Miley. Miley just showing everybody her groceries. Look at that.
Yo, apparently this bitch did some kind of spread where she shows her nipples, and apparently you have to let the nipples free. I didn't fucking get it. TMZ just be pulling shit out the ass.
Nipples. But apparently all Miley Cyrus request is Guitar Hero and Frosted Flakes. So she keeps it simple.
I gotta love that.
Yeah. Oh, over to Kanye West. And
look at that. Only being a daddy in pictures.
Look at
Go
that.
Go get it. Go get it.
Apparently, his backstage demands is he wants an all-white decor in his dressing room. And nice. He asked for stuff for his daughter. And apparently, they request an $8,000 bed to be a special $8,000 bed to be in the green room, plus a TV full of her favorite programs and a personal chef on hand to prepare her favorite meals using only the finest organic ingredients. So that's how Northwest gets down. So she has a very healthy diet.
Yes, sir. One thing I laughed at about the $8,000 bed, he's like, nigga, if that shit don't have the receipt and the tags on there, take it
Keep
back.
Keep the motherfucking tag on there. You got Cher.
I want the plastic to still be on this bitch.
That's funny. Fucking, J-Lo. What does J-Lo request?
Fuck J-Lo.
She wants white flowers, white tablecloths, white curtains, white candles, and white couches because she longs to remember when she used to be a virgin. I added that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Shit. I can't even remember her past, post, pre, fucking Fly Girl days. Girl, you can't go back.
Back when she was J-Ho. And, yo, I hate to admit it, I'm developing a very slow crush on Taylor Swift.
Well, why wouldn't she? She's a tall white woman.
She has the body of a 12-year-old boy. Look, she has no ass. I need hips. I need ass to grab
no,
on.
No, I don't need nothing to get in my way. No, sir.
I just want to get right to it.
I'm cutting straight through.
Apparently,
looking her legs to the ceilings, making it look like a goddamn pole.
Apparently, she requests for a bag of frozen soy beans, Starbucks grandes, Ben and Jerry's pints delivered to a bus, and spaghetti sauce, but it has to be ragu. Okay, she has a weird appetite.
Does she do it with drumsticks? What the fuck she eating?
I know.
With? Like a little Caesar. Oh, Stefani.
Oh, you got Gwen Stefani. Let's see what she needs. She wants her room bathed in bright white light. According to the website, the singer also asked for 30 bottles of water and a pesticide-free buffet, including an assortment of teas, fruits, cashews, almonds, vegetables, and ranch dressing. She also requires 10 white towels and 4 aromatherapy candles, all which have to be the same scent. Yo, I like hers so far the best. Like, I could rock with that.
I'm noticing a theme, though, with these white rooms. Everyone wants to be, like, in a heavenly sort of day, which I would imagine.
Yeah. I'm trying
to... Who the fuck is that?
Michael Bublé or whatever. None of these people are important. Oh, Jay-Z. Jay-Z wants a gentleman's club atmosphere backstage, and he requests a full-time on-call cigar roller as part of his entourage. I'm with that. motherfucking DMX. The rapper apparently... the rapper is a man with straightforward needs. According to his tour writer's wish list, all he asks for is 3 box of condoms and 1 gallon of Hennessy.
Wow.
Keeps it real niggerish, yo. Respect.
Respect. At least he's using condoms.
Motherfucking respect.
He can't afford fucking, whatchamacallit, child support, I'm sure.
Oh, Prince. Let's see what Prince.
You know, all his shows sell out, right?
Who?
Prince.
Oh, hell yeah.
What fucks me up, he only does small little venues, though. I don't know if it's because to make sure that it sells out and that people are pissed off, but.
No, you know, he is just very legit private. He, like, keeps to his motherfucking self. He's kind of like that Dave Chappelle type shit, where, like, when Chappelle will come back and do a comedy show or whatever, he wants it in a very small venue.
He wants it intimate, which, I mean, I would, you know, fuck it. You have more control that way. You know what I'm saying? Someone gets out of hand, you can hear it, kick him the fuck out.
Get him the fuck out of here. But apparently...
didn't he wear a shirt too sometime early in the year about the pancakes? It was an homage, a reference to the Dave Chappelle skit.
I don't know. And I heard his ex-wife came out on some interview, and she said that the nigga don't even know how to make pancakes. So I don't know if she's just hating on the joke or...
Why would she say that?
Hating ass heifer. But yeah, apparently Prince, all he asked for is that his dressing room food must be covered in clear plastic wrap. So that's interesting. It was I'm looking for, cause I saw Puff Daddy had one in here.
Oh shit.
And I'm trying to bring up Puff Daddy's cause it was mad suspect to me. Get through all these other wannabes.
Elton John also requests for Hennessy and a box of condoms. What can he request? It's the family value pack where it has all the different assortments, which is kind of, you know. What does Diddy ask for?
Here we go. Motherfucking P. Diddy, the hip-hop mogul, has a luxury lifestyle, and he asks for a lot while he's on tour, including 204 towels, 20 bars of soap, 2 bottles of Hennessy Cognac, 2 bottles of Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio, 2 bottles of Veuve Clicquot, a bottle of Dom Perignon, Grey Goose Vodka, a Boombox, a bouquet of white flowers, cheddar cheese, sour cream chips, sweet tarts, and a $300,000 bulletproof Maybach. This nigga ain't playing.
I wonder how old are these shits, because this nigga hasn't been on tour in fucking years, I'd imagine, unless he's fucking tailgating with Cassie. But even then, I don't know. I'm thinking this is 2003. This is fucking The remix,
the only thing that's like interesting, like the Puff Daddy, the 204 towels and the 20 bars of soap. You know, there's all these rumors about how homosexual Puff Daddy is. I could just only think that that's just for a whole lot of butt fucking and a whole lot of towels and soap to keep clean
pick up
with
the shit somehow.
Like, I don't know. That's all that goes through my head when I don't know. I don't know. But somebody else who wants everyone to I don't even know how to segue into this. There's a Japanese artist.
There's only one way to stream into some nice and wet.
You just got to just come out and say it. There's a Japanese artist who's been indicted for trying to 3D print her vagina into a usable kayak.
At least it's pink.
Yeah.
With cream pie all over it, apparently.
This woman, and actually, I'm going to share this screen.
I'm not liking how fucking loud this ad is, Jesus.
Yo, I know, that's the same thing that just hit me. But this Japanese artist, Megumi Iragamishi, has been indicted on charges of distributing obscene data. She has a 3D printed art project, a kayak with the representation of her vagina. And if she's convicted, she's looking at $20,000 in fines and 2 years in jail. Now, here's the picture of... Yeah, it's a kayak in the shape of her vagina, and you ride inside the vagina. And she says, I make art pieces with my mold pussy, which I would rather call Manko. So, yeah, she's all about her vagina and turning it into art.
Well, she has a beret.
Goddamn, so ad starts again. Be careful with that. Oh, shit.
I was scrolling down. There's video, but all she's doing is showing little, looks like fucking box artwork. Not really showing this fucking kayak. Your pussy ain't that pink, or is it? I want to see. I'm curious. I want to ride this thing.
Oh, hit the waves in my vagina.
And one thing that's really great too, and this just goes to show, I guess, how far women has evolved and knowing what they're worth. Her kayak seat too. I'm kidding. But yeah, that's some wild shit. I mean, hey, they got fucking robot prostitutes, man. Like. Why this should be fucking shocking doesn't make any fucking sense.
And nothing out of Japan surprises me. Anytime it's some crazy something that came from Japan, I'm like, I'm not surprised.
And I don't think it's supposed to make sense. And I think that's what makes Japan so fucking alluring. I don't fucking know. What you doing? What you doing, Rush? You gonna step away? You gonna leave me here all by myself? Now let me tell y'all something. Oh, I guess not. Oh, no, he's going back. Oh, goodness. My time to shine was gone and depleted.
Ow!
Like a nigga to come back, take all the shine.
Take my shine back, nigga. Now, you actually... I was going to segue this way, but you actually are off the FB, right?
I put it back on so I could share links, but all the links are in Evernote, so it really don't even matter.
There we go. But, Facebook has been harassing everybody this year to review their year, and this may come back to haunt them as Facebook had to apologize for the pain caused by this year in review app. There's a guy, where is it at? Yeah, Facebook user Eric Meyer was hurt by the year in review app's preview. It showed a picture of his dead daughter, who he lost to brain cancer on the child's sixth birthday. The guy's a writer and web design consultant, and he wrote his disappointment in a blog post saying that he is avoiding the app's preview, which automatically appears on his new feed without his consent. He says, however, he doesn't blame Facebook directly, but the design flaw in the app. He basically just had some suggestions to improve the app, including asking the user first if he wants to see a preview. And so, yeah, so it's fucked up. So for those who have not seen it, which I would be surprised if you haven't, basically Facebook takes some of your most liked and commented pictures from different months and put it together to review your year. And this guy, unfortunately, one of his highest rated or clicked on events of the year was his 6-year-old daughter dying, and with Facebook being the asshole and making sure you see the shit, like, ooh, try this, try this, try this. They constantly reminded this man of the loss that he went through. So fuck you, Facebook. You can't make me do anything, Facebook. Fuck you.
I'm pissed off that I can't find a motherfucking light right now. Jesus Christ, help me. Well, you know, I started laughing because on my little year-end thing, which I didn't want to fucking look at, but like I said, they just put it right there in front of you. It was our failed attempt at expanding fucking IBHM podcast with our former, never official fucking DJ.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun time, though, man. Everybody was talking, and yeah.
I know, and it's funny because, there's so many failed attempts to grow the brand last year. But even with the failed attempts, we saw considerable growth, yo. We have we got a lot of cool fans out there who talk to us, that keep us in a rotation, that we're Facebook friends with, we're Instagram friends with. And it's just fun. And like, and also, fuck Twitter. I would fuck with Twitter more heavy. But when I was pumping up getting the IBHM podcast Twitter going, like, I was following a whole bunch of different people because, like, I want my feed to have a whole bunch of shit to say that I can scroll through. And apparently I follow too many people within a 24-hour period, and they put me in some type of jail. I can't follow anybody. So if I can't follow anybody, I don't want to use the fucking app if I can't follow anybody else. So fuck you, Twitter. Unless some of y'all know how to get out of Twitter jail, send a nigga get out of jail free card, let a nigga know.
What he said.
That's some horseshit. One thing that isn't horseshit is this part of today's episode is brought to you by Bud Light Platinum in the slim can. You see this shit, yo? I copped this shit. It's a 12-pack, and it comes with all these joints in here, and these joints is, I think, like 12 ounces or something.
Platinum go hard, but I think brown or black crown or crown go even harder.
Oh, I gotta check that one out next, yo. You know what's hilarious? I don't even like beer. But I'm such an alcoholic that when I buy, like, liquor, it's gone within, like, 24 hours within the house. So I got to buy beer because I can't stand beer. So it takes me longer to get through it. So, yeah. It be like that, yo. Motherfucking Popo trying to feed his vice, yo. He can't find no motherfucking lighters.
I'm like...
Oh, it's out.
Nigga, I'm gonna have to turn on the stove.
Yo, that's how you gotta keep it gully, yo. Keeps it motherfucking gully.
I end up having to make a rig. Hopefully my incense ain't out yet. Fucking use this to light up a fucking candle. Use that candle to
use
fucking
the candle to light up. That's how we do it, yo.
If it works.
And something else that's coming to a close, Popo, is this is the last episode of 2014, yo.
It is, yo. I don't know what to say, man. The fucking it's so weird because as long as the work weeks drag and you can't wait for it to be Friday, I'm looking back like, motherfucker, December went by crazy fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know shit to say, man. Fucking yeah. A. More disappointed on this lighter, B.
Now, one thing I will say is with 2014 coming to a close, with us being hip-hop heads and with us both fucking with hip-hop DX, I think it's only appropriate that we take a look at this 2014 hip-hop DX year in awards, yo. And we're going to go right into it. Motherfucking 2014 hip-hop DX gave MC of the Year to the big homie, Big Crit, yo. Wow.
I didn't have to hate, but it wasn't his best album. But I will say, though, for the new year, and I'm not too sure if we're going to bring this up in your top five, but yeah, man, his verse was at Mount Olympus.
Mount Olympus.
Shit. His hooks.
Now, could kind of hop around because you just brought up Mount Olympus. Something else that Big Crit won was Verse of the Year, and that was for his verse on Mount Olympus. It says, after a first verse where he addressed Kendrick Lamar's rhymes on Big Sean's Control and not crowning Andre 3000 King of Hip Hop, the Mississippi rapper shifts into a higher gear on the cut's second verse. He snaps so hard that it sounds as though he's about to combust, raising his intensity, increasing his speed, and ratcheting up his venom, and he claims to be the king of every castle. And yes, that verse was mad motherfucking crazy, yo. Runners up for verse of the year, shouts out to Jay Electronica on We Made It. That was a cold verse. That nigga did eat that shit up, yo. Don't hate on Black Jesus. Don't hate on Black Jesus.
No, I got to.
And number three goes to motherfucking J. Cole's verse on Fire Squad, which I had to say, that was that hot fire. He got in white artists' ass. And
that was verse.
The same here. Yeah, because I think that that J. Cole verse of the year. I think especially because it summarized what happened in 2014. The whitewashing of urban music. And it's not saying it's done purposely and all white people so racist and blah, 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 blah. Not even saying all that. But he summarized what's going on in hip hop right now. And where we're at today.
I want to say that Big Crit's, that track, the whole shit was fire because he was opening eyes. But as far as one single verse, though, okay, it was that J. Cole.
I agree.
Quite easily.
And why are we both motherfucking podcasting different shit?
I'm looking for a light, son.
That's the problem when you're grown men with ADHD. Can't focus. Neither one of us can focus on one thing at a time. So, but hopping back over here, going back over to motherfucking MC of the year, runners up. Hip Hop Diet said runners up was Vince Staples, yo.
Who, I still ain't heard none.
Same here, yo. The only thing I've heard of Vince Staples was the verse on Common's Kingdom. Out of track on the Nobody Smiling record, and I'll give it to Vince, that was cold. But other than that, I haven't heard too much of his stuff to really have an opinion. But apparently he dropped Shine, Cold Chain 2, and Hell Can Wait. And the Long Beach MC, a lot of people's eating up. They saying that he's spitting gems, yo. And so be on the lookout for him. And another runner up, yo, Hip Hop Dietz gives a shout out to Logic, who they give him credit because Under Pressure was filled with so much studentry of the craft that it's no wonder the Maryland MC leaped so much since his previous work. So, yeah. So top three MCs, according to Hip Hop DX this year, Big Crit, Vince Staples, and the boy Logic.
Yeah. Like I said, the fact that they got major label backing, not macking, but like I said, Common. Yeah, I'm on two fucking tracks on that shit. I thought, yep, I was listening to a goddamn Tech N9ne album where all he does is try to put his homies on, but it, like, you know what I'm saying? Because he knows it ain't working.
Motherfucking heading over to producer of the year, yo.
Excited about this.
Producer of the year, they gave it to DJ Mustard.
And really, you couldn't hear, I couldn't listen to the fucking radio and not hear what was it? Mustard on the track, or what does he say?
Mustard on the beat, or something like that. Yeah,
Mustard on the beat, ho, or some shit like that. Yeah. If it wasn't that, I was hearing Mike Will Made It. Or it actually sounded like Mike Wilmer. I always think it's Mike Wilmer.
Mike Wilmer. And shouts out to Michael Made It, who was the runner-up this year. Those were the top two producers of 2014, according to Hip Hop Dietz. And I got to give it to DJ Mustard. He did the My Nigga track with YG on My Crazy Life, which was cold, which a lot of people don't know, though. DJ Quick mixed that beat. Just putting that out there. Quick mixed that. Did. Just putting that out there. And he also, what did Fergie drop? Fergie had something?
You know what? I don't even remember, but I know what his Mustard did something for him. But I didn't even know that bitch dropped anything. So the last time I heard about this bitch was back when she was supposed to release another album that was supposed to be sponsored by some kind of French fragrance that, you know, because, you know, most albums, especially this is back when I think Pink Friday came out where they're rumoring her new album to come. And I have no fucking idea, man. I don't know what the fuck Will I Am is doing. He's doing his own damn thing.
Well, no. So apparently DJ Mustard did something with Fergie. And then also... Oh, no. They're saying about Iggy's Fancy. Did he do the beat to Fancy?
I don't remember reading his names in the credits.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused.
If that's the case, this motherfucker is definitely well-versed. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to be able to get them pop tracks in, and that's your bread and butter. I feel like early Kanye. I mean, he was able to do something, you know what I'm saying? Like from the heart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hearts of the City, or was that Just Blaze? No, I think it was Hearts of the City.
It was Heart of the City, yeah.
And then he also did fucking what was that Ludacris song? Was it Move Bitch? Did he do that track or was it Roll Out?
I know he did Stand Up.
Stand up. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
No, apparently no, Fancy was produced by the Invisible Man in the Arcade. I was confused as why they're bringing this up during his thing, but whatever.
I wonder if he goes by a Ghost Monker or some shit, no? You figure he wouldn't. If he's trying to build up his brand, why would he fucking do that? But just how most journalists are going to do, they go by, you know, cover up, man. It's just how you gotta have an alias, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to give up your full government and shit.
Exactly.
When I used to work for Medicare, man, I remember I would go by Dick Grayson.
Ah.
Yeah. And it wasn't Grayson like fucking like Robin, but more like Grace and the word sin together. I don't know why I like that so much. That's my hip-hop name, I guess. Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson. And keeping with the production, the beat of the year, according to Hip Hop DX, was Move That Dope.
Young nigga, Move That Dope. It's another one of those songs to where I've only heard 6 seconds of it repeatedly. And it's because of the vines.
I'm trying to... Oh, okay, here we go. I'm going to play it in the background because I don't even think I've heard the song.
You know, and every time I seen Vine videos, they have like old people dancing or fucking fat motherfuckers dancing and just... Oh, you listen to it? Rocking it. Young nigga, Move That Dope. Booty ho, booty ho. Check your booty ho, booty ho. You gotta keep the dope fat, son.
The cold beat. That's out to Pusha T. I'm so confused. I thought Future was a singer. He's a rapper?
Yeah, he just his own hook man is all it is.
Oh, he's rapping. Oh, okay, I didn't know he... I'm so confused.
One of the controversies, too, and we talked about this last year, I believe, is how Future supposedly was a bite off of Rich Homie Quan, who was doing the Future thing before Future got locked up, came back, and I'm a fucking blew up.
Okay, I think I remember now.
Yo, what do you fucking think of Rich Homie Quan's... Was it Silent Night?
Oh, that shit was ridiculous, yo. Shout out to... I appreciate rappers who have a sense of humor. I love when I see a rapper who don't take himself too seriously.
I think the nigga was just mad high, started singing, realized I ain't shit without this auto-tune, and just started laughing it off. Like, what can you do?
That shit was hilarious. Shout out to that.
Did I put it on the main fan page or no?
No, I think you just sent it to me.
Christmas, or did I just send it to you?
I think you sent it to me, yeah. Yeah, put that shit on the Facebook page. Yeah.
That's already gone. I was going to say, y'all look up. It was a double XL clip, which I love that magazine. I haven't bought one in years because every time I see the cover, I get real pissed. Yeah, and he's fucking singing or harmonizing a Silent Night, and he's either Silent Night, and he's either drunk or high or both, and he just all types of fucked up. Nigga, sideways and byways.
It's fucking hilarious.
Season's greetings, though. You gotta do the promo thing, and I think we need to get more shit on that. We gotta get on that just a tad bit more. But you know what I'm saying?
Going back to you talking about the Move That Dope and hearing it in 6 second clips, another song that I heard in 6 second clips that was considered the second best beat of the year was Tuesday by Sunny Digital and Metro Boomin.
I still don't know how the fuck that song goes. All I know is on a Tuesday. That's all I fucking know.
On a Tuesday.
You know what? I think retard rap is coming back in a big way, though. Real, real real talk. Retard rap is where it's at. I mean, and there's this other group, and I forget what their names are because they're like two jihadi looking motherfuckers, and I forget because they're big in the college scene. I can't believe I'm forgetting. They look like two jihadi hipsters. Oh, I can't believe I'm forgetting their name. But yeah, they were a pretty big deal with stoner rap, and they're just one of those, not so much gimmicky, but they're just their parody rap to where really they're not giving a shit. They happen to spit and they fuck around, so they happen to just say random ass shit. And sometimes it sounds hot, sometimes it actually has a message, sometimes it actually connects and it makes sense, and sometimes it's just like, what the fuck? But you dig it because it has really old school boom bap beats. I can't believe I'm forgetting the fucking name. Let me ask my cousin. That bitch know.
And while you researching that, motherfucking video of the year, yo.
Yo, it truly was video of the fucking year. And, I mean, I fell in love with the song well before I saw the video, but the video made it.
And that is I.
Even doper.
By Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar. Yo. Who is? What is he? What is he?
The God? Count of three.
To God.
God.
Yo, well, God.
Yo, fucking, And I really love I Love Myself. A lot of people are like, oh, he's popping and he's going pop and he's fuck all that. The thing that's so dope and powerful about this is the hook, the catch line within the hook, the part that people repeat over and over and over. Like on the Hot Nigga song with Bobby Shmurda, it was Mitch caught a body about a week ago. Like, so that's the part of the song that you're repeating over and over, that Mitch killed somebody a week ago. Mitch killed somebody a week ago. Mitch killed somebody a week ago. That's what you're repeating constantly.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to this Kendrick Lamar record, I Love Myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love myself. Like, that's positive. That's powerful, yo. And that's
it. We gotta shut this nigga down. He's trying to bring peace. We're trying to make these niggas ride. And
that's
and
why get into- once again, I'm not wishing. I don't like, some people believe you can speak stuff into the universe and then
you can speak things into existence if you truly believe in love, forgive it. We're trying to stop this.
Yeah, but
disclaimer.
That's why I am concerned about the Forever 27 Club and how positive Kendrick is going right now. That really concerns me because he's 27 right now.
Yeah.
So that just scares me. So I don't know. But runner up.
It makes me jealous for him, though. I want to do something really, really powerful and bold. And I don't want to get sniped after it, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you
got to
live in infamy.
I'll take the sniping. You got to be a martyr, yo. That's the only way you can go down to infamy. You got to get slain. That's the only way
the
you go
says.
Down. Motherfucking the runner up for video of the year was Schoolboy's Studio, which I've heard the song 1,000 times, but I've never watched the video, so I'm gonna play this in our background. I've never seen this.
And I got the name, and it's so funny because I remember being so jealous of that fucking name, and this truly what the name of the show that we are. Remember those two jihadi things I was telling you about? It was two jihadis and a Mexican, and the band is called Das Racist. Priya, have you heard of them?
I don't think so.
Oh, God. That's racist. Alright, so we're watching our Schoolboy Q. See, and this doesn't even deserve to be runner-up just because it's so simple. But then again, I can't say that I don't get jealous every time I see an SSL series fucking board with fucking like 90 channels.
Yo, and I told you when I went to the conservatory, I got to work on SSL.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That was my final project. That was the final exam. I had to run a studio session and produce something within an hour on the SSL. And it was beautiful. I've never experienced something like it, yo. The SSL is so... I would make love to that mixing board, yo. That is... Oh, my God. The SSL...
Well, one of the little dumbest little things that I liked a lot when Jay-Z and Linkin Park were doing that mashup album, and then the DVD that came with the record, it actually had, you know, behind the scenes, them in the studio, Jay-Z doing his shit, you know, how they claim that he does shit in one take, but all the nigga was stumbling, which I love that it broke that myth, but... It was so geeky just to see them. Remember, one thing I love about the board is how you could, you know, write little names for what track that is. Obviously, you have to label it somehow.
Yeah.
But I don't know why that shit just seems so... I don't know why it seemed that geeky to me out just because... I don't know. I know.
I used to love doing that because, yeah, you would have to... Because it's not digital, so you have to label it some way. So you would always have the masking or that white tape out, and then you'd have the Sharpies, and it's like, oh, drums on this one. Oh, or no, you got the snare on this, kick over here. Yo, we got the lead vocal right here. We got the... I don't even know what the fuck he doing right there. I'm going to just label that fucking ad-libs. Like, was, oh man, I used to love that shit.
That's why I geeked out. I remember this line specifically. He's like, yeah, this is the poop trek. And like, I don't know what that was. But I don't know if that was special, what kind of special effect, but just we're geeks of technology, man, and that shit, man.
Yo,
man,
and that's why I keep telling you, you gotta fuck with Reaper. I'm telling you, the second you get into it, you're gonna fall in love with it. And actually, since we were talking off air about At War with the Gods and a bottle of cognac, fuck with a bottle of cognac on Reaper. I think you're gonna fall in love with it.
Really? Okay. No, actually, I'm no bullshit. And like I said, with this new year, man, I'm going to finally have a decent setup to where I don't have to. Cause one thing that makes shit so exhausting, man, especially living in a fucking studio apartment, man, just where everything is all in one place. Yeah. Because I have such limited space, I got to put things away.
Yeah.
So it takes a whole lot for me to take shit out and to, you know, connect it. By the time that shit just
takes out. And for the creed to put out creative shit, like, you do need your own section, your own area. You need, because it's hard to be creative when you got fucking clutter all over the place. That's why I'm glad I got this fucking nice studio desk, even though I share it with the boys' room. So it's still that, you know, that battle. But it's a wonderful thing. But yeah, I'm not fucking amazed by this video, so I'm gonna go ahead and stop that.
One thing that we should have showed was the third place winner, because in the real, that shit
motherfucking
is coonery at its finest.
Ballet King, yo, man.
And then he said some line about, see, that's the only line I've ever heard, because mind you, I only heard the song in 6 minute segments. But he said some shit about some line about a Porsche, and I'm like, okay, that's luxurious. You just kicked it up another notch.
Yeah.
Wigga.
Well, the fucking wigga. Riff Raff is a wigga. But like I said it before and I'll say it again, I was very surprised by the album. It was better than I thought it was. I'm not saying that, oh my God, people go out there and buy this Riff Raff. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I went in there thinking my ears were going to bleed by the end of it. And by the end, I was pleasantly surprised that, oh,
it was
he
pleasant
has
to
ear.
Listen to.
Yeah, he has an ear for beats. I was like, okay, I get, like, the people who like him, I get why they like him now. Oh, okay, I see. But now going
it
over.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Going over the albums that disappointed people, and I could only go off of the disappointment that they put here, because these are three albums that I kind of skipped, not purposely, but and that's Wu-Tang Clan's A Better Tomorrow.
What? I had no idea that shit came out.
T.I.'s Paperwork.
Bullshit. All but the Young Thug track.
And Wiz Khalifa's Black Hollywood. Those were labeled.
Didn't even bother with that nigga.
Yeah, those were labeled the three most disappointing albums of the year. And I personally could only say that I heard one or two songs off the Wu-Tang album. And the two songs I heard, I liked. But other than that, I haven't really listened to any of the rest of this shit.
In the realm of disappointment, man, can I give a quick shout out to the songs I don't want to fucking hear again? And there's actually only three that I could think for sure, so hopefully you could fill me with the other two. First one is, and we mentioned this earlier as we're going through lists, Let It Go by fucking the Frozen soundtrack.
Yes.
It's beautiful in its moment, but that shit was already overplayed before the fucking movie came out. Right, well before I fucking saw it, I should say that.
Yeah.
And I saw it pretty close to when it came out. Another song, Happy by fucking Pharrell. Mind you, I was blown away that they made a 24-hour music video. But nigga, really?
Yeah.
And you know what's fucked up is they're supposed to be uplifting. Please believe, in my most realist, I gotta tell you this. I want to be happy. I want to be able to enjoy and to live fruitfully and to give plentifully. But to be told that, to sing that, I didn't take that as affirmation. I took that as a fucking matter of being driven motherfucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, the other fucking song, which it didn't sound fucking awesome, is Everything Is Awesome in the fucking Lego Movie. I got all this hype up, and I know you said you loved the movie, man, but no.
That was my shit, though. Everything is awesome. That is my jam.
Am I that cynical that I cannot compute with a simple term of phrase? Oh. I don't fucking know.
Yo, one song from this year that I hope to never hear again is Stay With Me.
No, Sam Smith, son.
I don't want to hear it no more. I don't want to stay
if there's any song that y'all can listen from Sam Smith, and he's done so many group ventures. I know he grocery. I know he produces. This is a song called La La La. Look for La La La. It's a fucking crazy track. He even he mixes sexuality, faith-based things, and heartbrokenness so fucking beautifully and interwoven that that's the reason why I love him. And I'm gonna bring him up later on in the motherfucking show, FYI. But
bang.
What other song? One more song. One more song to finish up a top five of shit we don't want to fucking hear anymore. What would it be? I mean,
anything by Young Thug. I'll just say that.
But his hooks, though. Fuck him. Fuck him. All right. No, fuck him. Fuck him in the ass. Him. Going back to Baby. All right. Let's be done with him.
One other quick award. Most important freestyle of the year. I agree. The motherfucking Eminem Slaughterhouse Shady cypher. That 18, 19 minute cypher. Yo. Salute.
Yo, I want to say Kendrick fucking did his thing. Oh, actually, man, and then Isaiah, then they actually, you know what? That was hot shit. The only one we should be talking shit about, the motherfucker that didn't bring it. And that was J-Rock. Oh, no, actually, no, Schoolboy Q. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, anyways, should we do...
Well, let me see.
There's another thing I wanted to do in the tops. Just as a... What?
One more year-end review from them that we got to touch on before we move on. Instagram of the year. Winner of the Instagram of the year is Snoop Dogg joking on Iggy Azalea. I agree.
The man who started the controversy. The man who started it all.
No, the man who helped me see the light that Iggy might be the first fucking dedication pulled off the wall. If this bitch don't calm down,
don't
she might
dare.
Get
no,
pulled.
No, don't you dare. How can we have a wall full of bitches that we can't take a bitch who be bitching, huh? Tell me that. That's a Chinese riddle for you.
Yo. But another one, the runner-up was 50 Cent claiming that Floyd Mayweather couldn't read, which that was hilarious.
Yo, since we mentioned 50, this is the little comeback with Junior, which I unfortunately didn't even bother to listen to.
Same here.
Only because Young Buck came out hard afterwards and for him to rejoin
It's only like
for
five
money.
Songs, and I skipped it too, and it's like five songs.
They should have brought the game back. If this nigga really wants to make money again, he's going to do that.
Yeah.
And we'll see in the future. For the future, we'll tell. Yeah. Yo. Oh, fuck. I just thought of another person. Okay. Keep going. Let's keep going.
But I think we got to move into the year-end comeback, yo. Fucking top five albums of 2014. Burst and Poppo. Now, I'm very interested to see it this year because last year I knew we were going to have some overlapping stuff because there were several artists that we both were checking for. Now, this year, this was anybody's year. There was no big artist really that came out to like shake the game up. Like, I know Madonna came out recently, Nicki Minaj came out recently, but for the most part, like, this was an up for grab year. So I'll pass it over to Poppo. And
am I going straight shots with it, or are we going
we'll go back and forth. I'll let you do five, then I do five, and then we'll go back and forth, and will people really get to see the beauty in our difference in taste and music and all that loveliness. So
okay, well, one person that I'm pretty fucking sure came onto your list, and I'll just knock him out the fucking way right now. I don't know where he placed that in yours, and this isn't really going in particular order, but my number one is definitely my number one. I want to say the new J. Cole was my fifth favorite album. And mind you, my love with it was short-lived because it came so late into the year, so I didn't get to bump it as much. But I definitely gave it a full solid spins constantly. And going back to his verse on Bomb Squad, that shit was just, it was hard. It was calling everything out for what it was. It was definitely his best thing since, what was it, Friday Night Lights, right?
Yep.
Did I bring him up too soon?
Oh no.
Or is he on your list? Let's bring him up right now.
Well, no, come up. He comes up. So I like that. Yeah, number five, Forest Hills, yo.
Okay.
So I move over to my number five, and my number five is from an artist I hadn't ever even checked for, and just came out of left field for me. And that's Logic, yo. Under Pressure. Under Pressure.
And what was up about his shit?
Yo, it was a album. Like, it had a cohesive sound from beginning to end. It had a story. It was like a computer telling the story of Logic and, like, his getting to where he's at now. There was a love story later on when he met this girl who had never watched a Tarantino film. Like, it just,
ooh,
like,
that has my attention.
It just, it had levels to it. And, like, the kid could rap. The beats were good. And the kid's flow, like, he has a million flows. Like, every song, he'd switch up his flow, like, constantly. I was like, yo, this kid is rapping his ass off. And so, yeah, shouts out
right
to
now,
him.
So.
Shouts yeah. out to him. And also shouts out because this was his debut album. It was released by Def Jam Records. And the executive big producer deal. Was No ID.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then, so now I understand the connection then within the family.
Yeah.
That's what's up. The next album I'm going to say, and actually I put it on my fifth month list, but it's just, I bumped it a whole lot more, and I've seen these fuckers in show. This is a pop album, or alt. Yeah, pretty much fucking pop. Neon Trees. And it's a very, very pop album. The name of the album is called Pop Psychology. And I think I've talked about him before. The lead singer, Tyler, some shit. Just the most flamboyant Mormon you can ever see. He came out, you know, finally said that he was gay. And yeah. But he makes, one thing I love about it, about his music, similar to a Spanish singer by the name of Juan Gabriel, he doesn't promote the gay thing.
Oh,
he kind of, he lets off little tidbits so more than he has. But he just makes such fucking beautiful music, from things about getting texts in the morning or sleeping with a friend and just all these nuances. Yeah. And it just, mind you, I love pop deliveries. My songs that could fucking make me shake my ass, I mean, so to speak.
Yeah.
So pop, for those that don't mind listening to something strange or something poppy, taboo, listen to Neon Trees, Pop Psychology.
Moving on to my number four. Is 2014 Forest Hills Drive, J. Cole, yes.
Yeah.
J. Cole, just to add on to it, yeah, what you said, yeah, solid album. If you fuck with J. Cole during his mixtape years, he was solid in his mixtape years. His studio albums haven't been that great, but this came back. This went back to that Friday Night Lights feel. And shouts out to the kid. He sold well, and it's a solid album. Like, same thing. Like, I like a cohesive album. I like where it tells the story. And there's Forest Hill Drives goes to the, it's like the, where is it at?
I like how where he grew things up from.
At. Oh, go ahead.
Say what?
No, it's like the street that he grew up on was yeah. Forest Hill Drive. Yeah.
And then it makes 2014 to show its relevance. He hit things from like 03 adolescence. Where he talks about just dumb shit you do when you were a kid. I'm not sure if that's when he talks about losing his virginity. And then there's another track from like No Role Models, where he just talks about how, I mean, being mad niggerish is a thing. And he definitely hit on that. Definitely yeah. hit on that. If I can move to...
Oh, I was just going to say, he got real solid reviews, fucking All Music, Hip Hop Diets, LA Times, Spin US Today, Double XL. Like, just about everybody gave him a pretty high rating, so... Shouts out to J. Cole.
He came back, and how we mentioned earlier, you could tell he wasn't, it wasn't a matter of this needs to sell, or it wasn't a matter of, all right, we got to make this most commercial, even though like the last album he had like was a Crooked Smile, shit like that. So I mean,
yeah,
it definitely dope. One person that I want to bring for my top three, and I know you talk shit about him when you mentioned that one of the worst songs you don't want to ever fucking hear again.
Yeah.
But Sam Smith.
Oh.
Is it called? In the... What? In the Only Yours? What the fuck?
Oh, In the Lonely Hour?
Oh, In the Lonely Hour, mind you. And I've been very fortunate, man, this year. And I usually get mad, depressed, and sad, and all this corny bullshit. But... this whole fucking year, I haven't been able to. I've been very fortunate, just from fucking friends like you, man, to just family. They just, you know what I'm saying, just they keep motherfucking too well loved. I couldn't be lonely if I wanted to.
I love
this
you,
fucking
man.
Year.
I love you, man.
And I've wanted to. You love you too. But songs on the new album, though, it allowed me to feel it again. He has a thing to where he goes in it. He sticks his dick in the water and jumps in there and doesn't give a fuck about splashing. If I can give a shout out to three songs two songs since you said Stay With Me Was Shit, which I thought was one of the dopest tracks on there. One of
no,
them.
No, and actually, I will say this. It's not that it's shit. I do like it, but I'm very, like, I don't like, I'm the way I like music is weird. I don't like singing music unless it's like synth pop or like techno, or not techno but alternative or whatever. Anyway, so I have this weird thing with singing music, and I've heard this song so many times that,
cause,
yes,
cause I know Skips loved it. Cause I know Skips fucking loved it.
Skips loved it. Yes.
All I know is I want shit, man, that makes me grab a fucking cigarette and just and I fucking messed that up. Anyways, on here, three solid fucking tracks, and it starts off, man, so banging. First track is called Money on My Mind. It's one of those tracks where it's clubby, it's talking shit, saying that this thing doesn't control him. He's very sought after, I'm pretty fucking sure. And he just tells you straight up and down, like, it's not on his mind. Anyways, very straightforward, but that's why I like it. Yeah. Another track that was my second favorite on the album was Life Support. And it just talks about just needing, man, and wanting, and just the love of it all.
And that was produced by 2-Inch Punch.
Who that?
That's whoever produced Life Support and Money on My Mind were both produced by 2-Inch Punch, according to
that
Wikipedia.
That makes fucking sense. It's my two fucking favorite tracks. That's it makes funny. Sense. It's by the same fucking Dickster. And then, of course, Latch, I think, was what his single was. And there's an acoustic version on there. It was just beautiful, man. Only like three fucking tracks. So mind you, the whole album wasn't dope, but the three tracks that cut deep. It was a fucking, it was a homemade pecan pie. Yeah, so what was your number three?
My number three, yo, is a cat that I have been checking for, rocking with for a while. He's always up and down on my radar, and I think he knocked one out the ballpark this year. Motherfucking Asher Roth.
I'm so glad you brought him up, because
retro
that was going to be one of my...
Hash.
That was going to be my because every top five he was my sixth man.
Yo, Retro Hash, yo, was dope. I really liked it, yo. He apparently recorded between 2012 and 2013. And Asher is one of those cats who I've liked him since Asleep in the Bread Out. Like, I bought that album, and I liked that album.
Bought that shit online in the quickness.
Yeah, like... Like, I've liked him from day one, and I've liked his mixtapes, and, like, I've always liked him. But the other thing that's always been an issue with him is I could tell that he hadn't found his sound yet. Like, he's still developing a sound, and that's one of the things we don't get in music anymore. It used to be artist development. You find somebody, oh, that person has talent, and then you groom them for, like, 5 years until they find their sound. Once you find the sound that works with them, then bam, then you go out with them. No artist development anymore, so we see the artist develop in front of us now, and this is what we're saying with Retro Hash. And it was very, like, how would you describe it, like, sonically? Like, I couldn't describe it.
It truly was retro in a sense, to where there's a lot of string instruments, there's a lot of guitar. It had a very beachy boom bat feel, if I can label it any fucking way.
It was spacey and organic and earthy, and just, it was a lot of harmonizing and singing with it, and just like
everybody wants to sing on their own shit. I know I sure should do too.
My favorite song, though, I gotta say, the song that pulled on my heartstrings for whatever reason and what caught my attention with all this was track 4, Pull It. One finger in the air and I'm gonna pull it. That's my shit. That is my shit.
I can't think of standout tracks.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, my time with it wasn't that fucking long.
Yeah. But I'll say, Pull It, fucking Parties at the Disco, which we played on Never Be. No. He had Last of the Flo Heekins, which was crazy.
Yes.
Be Right. I thought it was real solid. It's not a hip hop, like, if you're going into it looking for that lyrical, miracle, spiritual hip hop rap, that's not what it is. It has its own sound sonically, and just like the kid was breathing on the track show, and I was rocking with it. So
definitely fuck with it for sure. And like I said, my sixth man. But now number two on my list, and I'm pretty fucking sure he's gonna come back up on it. I don't know where he lays out with you, but very early hitter in the game, which we could almost bundle him up with fucking Gambino's fucking album since it came so late in the year last year. But Isaiah Rashad's W Demo. Clivia demo.
I still don't know what the... How is it Clivia, Sylvia? Like, I don't even know what that is or what it means.
Beats the fucking cock juice out of me, man.
I don't know. But I will say that he come...
All right, so I don't know if you have shits up or not, but I can't remember. I for some reason, I didn't rate it on my iTunes, but yeah. Names that I know for fucking sure from R.I.P. Kevin Miller, which is some fucking wild... To Ronnie Drake, because SZA fucking kills it on that in West Savannah. Brad Jordan, which was surprising to me, that was fucking Scarface. To fucking my favorite track, which was Menthol, which once again was released earlier on Welcome to the Game. Yeah. And it was also Chopped and Screwed along with Gusto. I just, and me being a motherfucker, you know my thing, you know my vice, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit just made me spark one and just, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Very easy flow, right? Get that easy flow. Well, all right. Maybe I'm talking too much. What? Where is he at? Tell me he's on your list. I know he's on your list.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. He might be. I'm just saying, might be. I'll just leave it at that for right now.
Okay. What's your number two, son?
I'll go to my number two. Which is motherfucking PTSD by Pharoah Monch, yo.
I didn't hear it.
Slept on, yo. Oh, he got slept on. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, was his fourth studio album release. Came out in April, and it was solid, yo. The whole thing is and good. They have it in here. So, Pharoah Monch continues the story he began telling in his previous LP, War, We Are Renegades, which was his 2011 third studio album. The Queen's MC narrates in both literal and metaphoric ways about the trials and tribulations of an independent artist who is at war with the music industry and the struggle of the black male experience in America. This shit was, like, so fucking cold. Cause yeah, he told this whole story and it's like, he's in the year 2042 and like the world is different. They're trying to, put him through his, get him through post-traumatic stress disorder because of, the things he's experienced as a black man in America. And they're trying to erase these memories out of his brain. And like, Pharoah Monch is a monster. He's one of the most underrated MCs of all fucking time. He should be in the GOAT conversation whenever we talk about GOATs. Yes. But a lot of people don't bring up Pharoah, but yeah, it was fucking phenomenal, yo.
And I'm so mad because he's been in the game so fucking long to where he's almost like, that's why he doesn't have limelight, because he's just an everlasting on his lane. You know what I mean? And shit, I can't think of any single since. And he wasn't on Miss Fat Booty. He was on some kind of booty. No? Fuck, I forget.
No,
like, so he's been around since fucking...
Yeah, he's been around since the 90s, but...
fucking Method Man in fucking days.
But, yeah, definitely check out that Pharoah Monch if you're a hip-hop head. And like I said, it's a solid concept album, too, so... Bang, bang. So,
yeah,
oh,
bang.
Shit.
Okay.
Popo, number one. Uh-oh. Pressure, number pressure, one. Pressure.
And mind you, so that lets me know maybe where my other hopeful was. But mind you, like I said, I can't, I don't know. Hip hop doesn't grab me the way that I'm love with music. You know what I'm saying? That's why my shit goes out everywhere. And much love to the friendships that we've done Bill in the past, you know, time of the show. Thanks to Trav Lord. Like I said, he sent me this group months before I gave it a fucking listen. Months before I even know the fucking bitch existed. And he also sent me other tracks. And Trav, if you're listening, the other thing you sent me, even though it was disc-esque, it didn't sit well for me, only because I love this girl so much. And I can't believe I forget her fucking name. But it's a girl from Tune Yards. T-U-N-E-Y-A-R-D-S. Tune Yards had an album come out, I want to say, maybe. Trav was sending me shit since February. So I'm hoping. So I know it's 14 for sure. But she's this girl who just does experimental music, man. She can fuck with a synth, have a ukulele, and make drums off of a goddamn cup and a pencil. Like, she's dope like that. Anyways, there's a track called Rocking Chair. It's just my shit. It's my zone out. It's my please yourself. It's my getting lost in your own fuck. And she was also one of my dedication songs before. I'm sure. I'm Wedita. You know how Weditas are with me. How they sit. But
yeah,
I don't know. I can't speak enough of it, man. But for those listeners, fuck with her. Tune Yards, if you can. There's an acoustic version, or there's an acoustic song, this version of this that she did for some kind of radio show. It's online. Just look for acoustic of Rocking Chair. It's her and her bassist just literally making sounds out of the shits in the fucking around them, sampling herself, looping herself. You know I'm a sampling sort of producer. Just doing it up big, man. I love it. The reason why she's so awesome is because not only does she write, she produces, she arranges, she literally plays the goddamn instruments in a very blessed way. And just, man, she makes music. She's a music artist, and that's what I love about someone.
This took forever for me to find this, but you hate her. It's skip. Bam. Meryl Garbus, who was a previous dedication. Shouts out to her. Tune Yards.
She's right next to my favorite tranny.
Oh, why?
I mean, drag.
Fucking Allure Delano. But, yeah, on the dedication wall. But,
the beauty. The fucking beauty. Yeah, so, if you guys find any, for those who are listening, who even if y'all ain't reached out to me, y'all can send me anything. Like I said, I'm on the fucking Twitter, I'm on fucking, I'm on and off FB, but I'm for sure on Tumblr, on Instagram. Send me something, at me on something so I can fucking listen. Cause I love crazy shit and crazy, beautiful shit, I will say.
And so, I myself, I am a hip hop head. And, I always say, I guess I like artists more than I like songs. Like a lot of people, oh, what's your favorite hip hop song of this year? Didn't really tell you because like I'm more into artists, like an artist story. An artist will have a story and it'll resonate with me. And then I'll start checking for that artist and continue, you know, following them and all that. I think I have a new one who caught my attention this year. And yes, you did mention them. Sylvia Demo by Isaiah Rashad this year connected with me on a whole nother level, yo.
By far, best hip-hop album.
And unfortunately, it sold like less than 10,000 copies. But one thing I am doing, and I'm announcing it on the show so I could pressure. I came across the album on Google Play, so I didn't actually pay for the album. I just, you know, stream it on Google Play. I was on Top Dog's website, and I saw for $15 I could buy a copy of the CD, and Isaiah will autograph it. So I think I'm gonna fuck with that, yo, because I top album of 2014. I really fuck with it, and if I can get a copy of it with him signing it off, like I'll put that shit up in, I'll put that in a motherfucking treasure chest or something. So if this nigga do become the next Kendrick, yo, I got that first one, yo, unopened, yo. But
especially if they get, rid of Kendrick, how we predict? Lord forgive, Lord forbid.
Yo, but it starts off with his intro, Hereditary. And I just want to read the lyrics real quick on this. It's a quick little intro. I'm going to just read what he said because, oh, man, this is what caught me, what resonated on another level. The boy says, I ain't eating in the morn. I be sipping on the henning. You've been looking for the wrong one, the wrong one, the wrong one. I ain't thinking about your love. I be shitting on your feelings, your feelings. And you've been loving on the wrong one, the wrong one. Now he says, my daddy taught me how to drink my pain away. My daddy taught me how to leave somebody. My daddy taught me how to smoke my load and go. My daddy taught me you don't need nobody. So one time for the cage birds, cage bird, cage bird. And one time for the real niggas, real niggas,
real niggas.
Real niggas. And slow down for the Jaeger, Jaeger. And one time for them little niggas, little niggas. I ain't eating in the morning. I be sipping on the Henny, Henny. Yo, I was like, I feel this brother on
alcoholic
every level.
Is all I can say.
Yo, and what's so dope, like, that sets up the whole entire album, because the name of this is Hereditary, and the story that you learn from the album is that his dad left him at a young age and went off and married somebody else, had some more kids and all that, and just kind of, like, left him. But even with his dad leaving him at such a young age, he grew up to find out that he's just like his fucking dad. So his dad taught him how to drink his shit away, taught him how to leave people. His daddy taught him all that shit because it's in his blood. And like, man, did
if that ain't a motherfucking
this album, it just, it hit me. Like, it was like, man, yeah, that's my story with me and my pops, yo. Ooh, yeah.
Oh shit. You see, it's a motherfucking noon. I'm sipping on a Bud Light doing a live show, yo. My daddy taught me, yo. So yeah, real talk. It's just, it was dope. It was a good story, yo. That's all
and
I can say.
And I laugh too, cause I know my mom's like, when I laugh, and you know, and my mama loves my old man, of course, but she, every bitch is scorned. Hell, have no fear, like a woman scorned.
Yeah.
She'll be like, I could just see her, like, either first get in awe and then get pissed off because a reminder of my old man. And unfortunately, I have my mama's looks. I have her goatee and shit. But fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, shit is hereditary. You can't ignore some shit.
Oh, and going back to your top album, so it was Nicki Knack was the name of the Toon Yards album that came out 2014.
Second album under that moniker. She's such, like I said, she's such an artist. She has different names. She ain't got time for to commit to one fucking project. The bitch is doing everything. Everything.
Nobody got time for that. So bam.
No.
There you have it, yo. Mm. And yeah, so we only had two that that clicked with one another, and both of them were pretty close. You had Forest Hills at 5, I had them at 4. You had Sylvia at 2, I had her at 1, and that's just me being more, that's me being a straight just hip hop head. I saw them higher on a list, but
and honestly too, what's so funny with our synchronicity, it's just yeah, beautifulness. Now, no good deed can go unpunished, and no great spectacular and end of year salutes can quite go diminished or just or ignored. I think it's about our favorite time. No, would you say? I mean, there's other shit we could fill in, but let's
I gotta light the fire. Start the fire so we could sacrifice a few lovelies. To live forever in infamy on the dedication's wall.
Now tell me you just have one, please.
I have two.
Son of a bitch.
Dos dedicaciones.
Okay.
My Spanish, yo.
Y lo hablas muy bien. You speak very well.
There, yo. So I'm gonna let Popo buy a little time, and yo, it's crazy that it's
so both yours are in unison, I'm assuming, right?
Yep, my two are in unison.
That's just unfair.
So I'll go ahead and kick it off, and I'll knock both of them out, yo. Popo's gonna hate, but first off, I gotta dedicate this motherfucking episode. Let me share the screen over to motherfucking lovely Rosario Dawson.
Oh, you
who
bastard.
Starred in Top 5. Oh, Rosario. I've been in love with Rosario since she was in one of my motherfucking favorite movies, He Got Game.
Oh, wow. That's old. That's Denzel, right?
That's Denzel. Motherfucking Ray Allen trying to be a actor. He was a horrible actor, but whatever. Motherfucking Rosario Dawson on the motherfucking wall, yo. Bang. Yo, gorgeous Latin African woman. Like, she's it. Because this is one thing a lot of those Mexicans that are over in the area by the Jamaicas and all that, that like to claim that they Latin. Y'all some niggas. Y'all just got off the boat before y'all hit the mainland. Cause all y'all have African features. Like, look at Rosario's lips. Cause let me hop back over here. Look at these lips, dog. That is not lips of European descent. Do you see that? Those are lips of African descent.
Special. I don't see nothing special. They some lips.
Those ain't no European ever produce some lips like that. That ain't no Botox right there. That ain't no Botox, yo. So I'm just saying, African
that's
descent.
Natural, for sure.
It's been diluted over the years through colonization and a whole bunch of other shit, but African nonetheless. So dedication number one, and to keep in the theme, because Rosario Dawson was in Top 5, and to go over to another lovely from motherfucking Top 5, I gotta hit this search real quick and switch over and screenshot, and you hit the share motherfucking Gabrielle Union, yo. I put too much of her name in there, so it didn't really do this the right way. So let me try that again.
You probably got Gabriel and Union in the motherfucker.
Oh, there we go. Motherfucking Gabrielle Union, who I must say is one of the most gorgeous non-acting women I have ever met. Like, oh my God.
Non-acting?
This heifer could not act her way out of anything, but she is gorgeous.
Paper bag.
She's gorgeous. She can't act, but she's gorgeous. So shouts out to Gabrielle Union and Rosario Dawson, who both were in, they were the two main women within the top five movie, and they both did a phenomenal job, because Gabrielle Union was who she is in every single movie I have ever seen her in. But that character works for her because she knows how to do that character well, because that's probably exactly how she acts in real life. So shouts out to her.
Fucking it. And you know what I will say, especially because she played the Beyonce reality TV star. Like, she was born to just play a bougie bitch. Like, no substance. No substance whatsoever.
Yo, my favorite line of hers is, every time you came back from the breakup, what was the first thing I did? I dropped to my knees and I sucked your dick. I did that for a moment. God, like this. Him. Andre, I need you. Oh, talk about paying it forward. She would blow that man every time they came back from an argument. So she could always say, you owe me one. All those blowjobs, I hated your dick. That wasn't the reason I was doing that. Oh my God. So shots out. Once again, if y'all haven't seen Top 5, go fucks with it. I'll do whatever way y'all engage in checking out movies. Do that shit to check out Top 5.
Yes, please do. Please do. We'll buy the DVD, so we can say we all chipped in on that one. Yeah, okay. Now, if you go to your Facebook thing, I sent you two links.
Oh.
Now, yeah, my second, click on the, from the first to the second. Now, the first one, she's a, and it wasn't hard to pick these two at all. The other one's in the back of my mind, and I've been wanting to shout her out. Perfect fucking time. First one, and me being of Spanish descent, which I would never admit, you know, naturally have to have a hate towards other Spanish dissenters. This bitch is Cuban. She ain't the prettiest, but she definitely has that Michelle Rodriguez kind of cunty look to her. Maybe because she's Cuban, I don't know. Cat Dahlia, and I'm pretty sure I've referenced her before.
Yo, is this the chick? Oh wait, let me see.
She was rumored to be working on Kanye West for her actual major label debut. Yeah. She's put out singles from Gangsta to other things.
Yeah, going back to what we were saying with the albums, I'm not a big singy songy person. Gangster is that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That shit, yo.
And we hear the fake story that fucking niggas every time about living the struggle, cleaning hotel rooms. Now this bitch has actually done it. You know what I'm saying? She's had to make decisions. She's come out real. Her last single from an album that just never came out was called My Garden. Just the first little verse of My Garden. She says, "My garden is wild of dahlias, daisies, yeah. and it's untouched. Come in. Check in my rhythm, baby. My sky has been looking gray. My garden is wild of dahlias. It's been untouched of sin. My root been craving lately to soak in your diamonds." Like, it's just such a... This woman, man. She's gangster. She is truly gangster. Okay, she's on the screen, shit. I'm saying, this is probably a woman that we can have a fucking drink, fucking share a cigarette. No, actually, not even share. This bitch is fucking, you know what I'm saying? Here, one for you, one for me, and just enjoy and just do our thing.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with this dedication. Yeah, this is a hot record. And actually,
the record is old itself, but she's forthcoming with new things, man.
Yeah.
And,
but yeah, shouts out to her, yo.
Mm-hmm. Second dedication, just to move on swiftly. She was recently in the movie The Interview. She plays some kind of agent that's just so fucking far-fetched. First time I remember seeing her was in Mean Girls. She plays this dykey Lebanese chick. And Lizzie Kaplan, yo. I would throw her in as a Wedita. I mean,
I would too.
She has this beautiful, artsy, trashy, fucking dykey for sure. Fucking look to her and oh god, yeah,
bang, I can bang. Say, man. And god. If I am not mistaken, yep, she was in Cloverfield, and that's when I fell in love with her.
Was she in Cloverfield?
Yes, yes. I knew
she
I
was,
recognized
yeah,
her. Yes. Oh.
Mean Girls. Apparently she's worked with Frankel before in 127 Hours. I didn't peep that. Ooh, she was an episode of Masters of Sex. I've been wanting to get into this show. I think it's a Showtime show. Or HBO Showtime, I think. Masters of Sex, man.
But yeah. Sir, there you go. I like those fucking dedications, though. So, it, I guess on that note, that wraps up the year 2014 for us. Guess we'll see y'all next year.
Yeah,
something like that.
We'll start off with a bang for sure.
With a bang,
just
bang.
How we does it.
And yeah, we got big plans for the opening episode of 2015. And so I guess on that note, we'll see you on the other side of the year of the Gregorian calendar. So once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com.
What?
Questions, comments, articles you want to hear our opinion on, send them bitches over there. Or you could also hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in the appropriate spot. Make sure you subscribe to the show to never miss an episode. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We're on Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. And honestly, the quickest way to do any of that is just head over to IBHMPodcast.com and you can find all of those links there and fuck with us. Subscribe. Interact. We love it. We love y'all. This has been a wonderful, wild motherfucking year. Bang!
I like seeing y'all every time.
Every time. So, once again, I'm Black.
Oh.
He's Mexican.
No, it ain't.
And
no, he ain't.
If they didn't like this podcast, what might they be, Popo?
You just end of year looking ass. Well, fucking, where did the time go? Did they kill some niggas? Sure. Do I care? Not really. Ass motherfucking racist. Getting bobs over Baghdad, yo.
Bombs over Ferguson, apparently.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Until next time, y'all.
Yo. Salutes. Peace. That means peace.
You look so pretty, but you got